Welcome to Health Lifelines, brought to you by the Lifeguard Approach. I'm your host, Chris Duvall. Our guest today is a mentor and a friend of mine, Dr. Bob Walker. I have been learning from him for over 15 years. Dr. Walker is a chiropractor, and he has two master's degrees, one in human nutrition and biochemistry, and the other in neuropsychology. His mission is to help fill in the missing links, especially in regards to the importance of structure and nutrition in healthcare. So let's dive right in and start creating some more lifelines that'll help you take better care of your patients. So welcome, Dr. Bob Walker, to the inaugural edition of Health Lifelines podcast. So you are going to be helping us learn today and understand more of the missing pieces that are involved in our endeavor to get healthy. And so I am excited to talk to you about that. But before we get started, I want you to also mention your teaching partner, Kay. And she's a valuable part of this duo. So tell us a little bit about Kay and how you two work together on your mission and why your missions are aligned.
Okay, well, Dr. Kay MacArthur is a dentist, and we're very much aligned both in structural and in nutritional. She's a highly regarded, qualified cosmetic dentist doing orthopedics, functional airway for a long time. And she also has a strong interest in functional health, especially women's health. She's a certified or diplomat and fellow in functional health, along with integrative cardiology and oncology, and has a keen interest in women's health, especially, which is what's good, along with the rest of it. And our mission is just to try to open up the boundaries and make people healthy. I mean, I came from a strong structural background with a strong biochemistry and nutritional slant on top of the posture. I mean, 35 years ago, we were teaching posture and airway and occlusion, and people, quite frankly, thought we were crazy. One person who didn't was Kay, and she said, makes total sense. And when we add nutrition to it, even way back then, as you know, Chris, how long we've been doing this, she's 100%. She's had a strong interest even back in the 90s with the environmental group, toxicity. She's from New Zealand, so New Zealand is only green because of pesticides and toxins, so it's not clean and green. But she's had a keen interest in cancer and women's health since back then. So we're perfect for that. She provides the dental aspect of it, which I understand, but I don't do. And yet we both provide the nutritional background and interest to try to make people healthy and open up the paradigms. Thank God today it's becoming more and more widespread. So that's reassuring, but it's still a matter of completing the picture and taking a different perspective. And we definitely have a little bit of a different perspective than most people. Hopefully we can change that.
Perfect. Well, one of my prime reasons for having you on today is also that to acknowledge you have a course coming up the end of February and the first part of March. And it's a 3-day intensive on filling in these missing pieces and changing the paradigm that what we have known for years maybe isn't so anymore.
Well, one of the things we're doing in March is a functional health, laboratory testing, and nutritional strategies, which is kind of a primer, a review, an overview. So it's good for whether they're seasoned practitioners or whether they're just brand new to this. Because even the seasoned practitioners sometimes lose the forest for the trees. And they get caught up in a study said this and a study said that, and a vitamin for this and a vitamin for that. And they lose the broader picture. I mean, you know, we've been teaching structural, dental, functional, cranial for a long time. And since the very beginning, we've also taught that there's a way to approach nutrition in your daily practice rather than just saying, oh, we don't do this, run off to a nutritionist. There's a way to look at people's health, both from a structural and a functional health standpoint, that's still lost. I mean, I know a lot of seasoned practitioners that still will run a lab test and give you this for that. That's the wrong way to think about it. And you've been around what we've been doing for almost 20 years, Chris. From the very beginning, we've always said you have to back up and have a strategy in order to approach health. And you can start at any point. And even if you just understand the basic strategies and what you can see on lab tests and how you can use nutrition to create health, we don't have to chase disease. I'm not a disease chaser. I don't think disease exists if you're healthy. So let's start from there.
So, talk a little bit about one of the educators talking nowadays about you need three things in order to consider yourself healthy. So, your diet and your exercise and sleep. Can you talk a little bit about the difference between and what it conveys when we talk about diet? Because it really is more than diet, it is the nutrition you're getting from your diet and what is there, what is missing, and what you do in case what your diet isn't providing for your body to function at 100% of how it should.
Okay. Well, first off, I agree with those three things. I would add proper structural neurology to that because without a nervous system that's firing, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It's not going to work to the optimum degree. I mean, you can try to overpower it with certain things, but I always say you have to have a proper structure, a proper working nervous system, a proper occlusion as a big part of that. Sleep is a big part of that. But sleep right now is an echo chamber where everybody's saying the same thing. There's so much more to it. Nobody's even talking about the immune system. And when it comes to exercise, heck yeah, but it's not all about the cardio. It's not all about these things that'll actually make you gain weight, eat muscle, and break down tissues. It's a lot of that comes back to a proper diet. Well, what the heck does that mean? Does food matter? Heck yes. Let's get it back down to what I would call metabolic health. You need to have proper metabolic health, structural health, and those two are what are going to give you proper sleep, right? And they're going to allow exercise to work. And that's why we say we want structural foundation neurology working, and we want metabolic health function working. So, metabolic health has to do with the food you eat, what's in it, how it works for you, and what you're missing. So, what can we do? And in the end, everybody, as we would say in research, is an N of one, right? You're your own research study. You can look at a study of 10,000 people and maybe 8,000 respond a certain way. Well, the other 2,000 don't. Where are you? You're an N of one. So everybody's individual. There's general guidelines we look at, but in the end, we want you to be healthy, not the other 8,000, you know?
Yes.
And so there's things that we can do broad spectrum to make each person as healthy as they can be. Or it's really as healthy as they want to be because you can't drag someone kicking and screaming to be healthy. Everybody has a certain level of effort they want to put in for reward. So, where is the
Yes.
return on investment for them?
We can, expose a person to knowledge, but we can't make them think necessarily. So I think that's a lot of what you do is just turn on that thinking gene that hopefully we all have and maybe haven't been using that much of. But it just makes a lot of sense to approach health from the way that you are doing it. I owe a big Shout out to Dr. Brian McKay, who I was working for at the time when he invested in me on my patient's behalf to come to the first course I attended was your Fizzy Jazz course in Park City. And, he had asked me to paint a bigger canvas of who I could be for our patients. And this is where he started, was with your courses. And even though I am retired clinically, I still attend your courses because to me, this really starts with each one of us. And we got to take care of ourselves in order to take care of others, right? And you and I both know we have lost a couple people this last year that are and have been very important to us. And I want to encourage everybody out there that is a provider, I hate that word, but is a caregiver of patients. The first thing you got to do is care for yourself. You got to walk your talk in order to take care of others. So I hope that some people are listening to this, dentists and hygienists that will really get involved with what you are teaching and see the value of it. It is huge because when you take care of yourself first, you're able to walk your talk with your patients. So thank you for all that you do and for being a huge part of my journey to health. I wouldn't be here today in that manner if it hadn't been for you and Kay. So I appreciate that a lot. Can you talk a little bit, just in case people don't understand what you truly mean about when you talk about structure in relationship to health?
All right, we can do that briefly a bit. And we got to give a shout out to old Dr. Brian as well, because he went through the structural stuff and the nutrition stuff and thought, well, heck, it's more to this that you should be involved and get the information. And remember, what, 15 years ago, we were talking about functional physiology as it relates to sleep disorders. We've always developed orthopedics, so there's nothing new about airway dentistry. I mean, we've been doing that since what, the 80s? I mean, way back in the 1900s. But we also always added, the functional physiology to it. That's why we called it a fizzy course. And it happened to be during a jazz festival. So we always called it fizzy jazz.
Yes.
But previous to that, I was a chiropractor. I used to run a headache center. I used to deal with craniofacial pain a long time ago because I did structural and cranial work. And when we changed the body, we noticed that the teeth didn't fit. It's observational way back then. So a lot of studies have been done since then to prove what we see, but everyone's an N of one. And when we talk about structure, we talk about from the ground up how we can get the body to work right. And I always said, well, if I could get the body right, if I could get the skull symmetrical and right, and we could make the teeth match that, that would be perfect. Why can't we do that? And that's where we started a protocol called Chirodontics. That's us back in 1986. And from that, we had to learn a lot more about the dental system and its effect from the head down. And the things we learned are that we want things to be level. We're looking at joints, jaws, and teeth. We want healthy joints. We want a symmetrical skull. We want a level plane of occlusion to the forces. And then we want the teeth to match that in their proper arc of closure and clench and timing and disclusion. So all of those are important from the structural standpoint. That's what we cover in the exceptional dental courses, advanced occlusal concepts, and go from that. We just got done teaching a whole excellent new group, as well as the old timers that have been doing it for 20, 30 years. And so now there are a lot of practitioners that are doing the exceptional dental and chirodontic based approaches from the body to the skull to the teeth. But from the beginning, we've always added a nutritional component to that because you want proper neurological firing combined with proper metabolic health. And that's what we call exceptional health, which is a combination of the nutritional, the structural, and the dental all together.
Got it. I think a big realization for me was when you talk about nutrition and everything working together was when I learned about through you and Kay about what my SNPs were and how I could manage those and what I could do to make my body function better. And that was a huge light bulb that went on for me. Can you talk about SNPs for a second and how they impact our health and whether or not we're able to get healthy?
Sure. And remember, we were talking about SNPs back in the early 2000s, 20 years ago. Now it's becoming trendy again, which is cool. Like I said, good. But now we're seeing people make the same mistakes that we made when we were just dabbling in it a long time ago. For everybody out there, since the Human Genome Project, we are able to get human genome sequences so much easier than we could in the 90s. When we talk about a SNP, what we're saying is there's a single nucleotide polymorphism. That just means that, through evolution, every generation genes vary slightly. Some work, some don't. We wouldn't have evolved to today without SNPs, right? And that's where, from different parts of the world and different ancestry, we have different genetic variations that have helped us adapt. I wouldn't call them a mutation, they're a variant. And some variants work really good for some things, and some variants don't for other things. And each of us is an N of one. We have differences that make us totally unique from someone else. And everybody has about five to six variations in their sequence that will make you uniquely you. There's good, there's bad, and there's ugly, right?
Yes.
And everyone's a little different. This goes beyond the trendy MTHFR, the methylation genes, because there's actually a whole lot more than that. This goes into everything about you. There are some critically important ones that have to do with methylation, which is no doubt about that, but also how that methyl is delivered. The sulfation enzymes to me are even more important because they have to do with building blocks for detoxification. And when it comes to your body's ability to detox in your brain, Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's, ALS, these things, that's sulfation. That has to do with making cysteine and then making glutathione and then making aldehyde dehydrogenase, making SOD for all the ozone people. People in ozone assume, well, you give somebody ozone, it'll work. Yeah, but there's downstream from that signal that your body has to have. Some have, some don't. And if you can't make it, you need to take it.
Take it.
If you can make it, support the
Support it.
process. And that's what we look at with genomics. We're going to give a primer introduction to genomics in February, March course, because we want everybody to have a starting point and not make the same mistakes that we're seeing made. Kay and I both really like for people to have a broad knowledge, as you said, for yourself. And for your family and for your friends, and then your clients and patients. I think you got to take care of yours first. You need to take care of you. You need to be healthy enough to deliver advice. You need to have your family and your friends healthy, and then you can apply it to other people. But I think, yeah, it's great to apply it to people, But if you don't apply it to yourself, man, as you've said, we've lost quite a few people in the last 3 or 4 years that we saw coming. You can't make them think, right? You can't make them drink. You can just present the information that's there. And hopefully we can take that another level further. But genomics is a part of it. But as Kay says, genomics loads the gun. Your lifestyle and environment pulls the trigger. It's what you do. And there's a lot that you can do for your N of one to maximize your health. The more you know how your body works, the better. And so if you know things are going to be different for you, why not head them off? Why not hack that, as some people say? Why not have a workaround, as we like to say? Have a nutritional workaround because everybody's different.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You're listening to Health Lifelines, a podcast brought to you by The Lifeguard Approach, your trusted source for insights, solutions, and training that empower you to become a lifeguard for your patients' health and well-being. This episode is just a taste of the strategies and stories we will share to help you and your patients live longer, healthier lives. If you're enjoying the content, make sure to hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. As a reminder, this podcast and the opinions expressed here are not a medical diagnosis. And don't forget to explore our additional resources, tools, exclusive content, courses, and coaching solutions from the Lifeguard Approach by visiting our website at thelifeguardapproach.com. And now let's jump back into today's episode. So, Dr. Bob, excuse me, if that's okay if I call you that. That's how I know you. If somebody wanted to start on this process of truly getting healthy, considering all the factors and learning more about the missing pieces, how would you start? What would you recommend people do?
That's a very good question because I think that we're seeing a change now where people actually want to become healthy again. And how can we help make people healthy again? That's a good thing. There's a thing in the past where people say, oh, well, the body will heal itself. No, the body's designed to survive right now. The body wants to wake up tomorrow. It wants to be able to go to sleep tonight and wake up tomorrow. The next week, it doesn't care. Yesterday, it doesn't care. It's not living in the past and it's not living in the future. It's right now. Our job is to look at the past and look at the future to try to help them live beyond now. So the first thing to, I think, on a health journey is to, number one, have the desire, the intent. If what you want to do is to change things a little or a lot, realize that you're going to change your behaviors and belief systems because that's what got you where you are today, right? You're going to have to change behaviors and belief systems, and that's probably the hardest step of all, right? Because nobody likes change. I never like to take something away from somebody. I would rather add good things to it. Until they realize that, yeah, you didn't need that other stuff. I mean, no one's perfect. Everybody has vices, and you don't have to be perfect. You just have to start, and you have to want to start. Once that happens, well, that's what we're going to teach in March is where you would start. And I always look at where you would start for yourself, where you would start for your friends and family, and how that applies to everything you do every day. I mean, we teach courses on sleep, we teach courses on functional oral systemic health that you can apply to dental patients or anybody really, because it's really about health. But where do you start? You start with the information that you have. Everybody's got a baseline of knowledge. So let's expand that knowledge a little bit so that you have a broader perspective. Most people go to a general doctor, they get a basic lab test, and then, okay, what do you do? Well, is it high, low, or normal? And most doctors are not taught how to interpret a basic lab test. Sorry, they're not. They look for anything high and they jump right to the lipids and they start looking at cholesterol numbers and they go into their basic shtick on, well, you need a statin, and then a statin's gonna raise your blood pressure because of what it does, and then you get on a blood pressure medicine, especially when they tell you to stay off fats and salt. So then your blood pressure goes up, and then your blood pressure goes up, and then they put you on a diuretic, which further depletes the salts and the minerals, and then you're going to have atrial fibrillations, and then you go on a beta blocker, and you're on those three, and then your metabolic health gets out, and then your A1C goes up, and then you get prediabetes. So now you've got metabolic syndrome, and then eventually you're going to get type 3 diabetes, which we call Alzheimer's and dementia. It's a death spiral that we see over and over and over again.
Yes.
So we like to start with the blood test that everybody has. What does that mean? What are the real markers that should be on there? A1C, CRP, vitamin D3. Let's look at your white blood cells. Let's look at your liver function enzymes. What are these things? What do they mean? And that's a basic strategy based on information you have. If we had to back up one level further than that, let's look at a systems type analysis. We can back up and look at things like your energy-based system, your digestive system, your basic gut health, your neurotransmitter system, all these things that are going on, which one's weak for you? Because if we can make a general systems of your body look healthy, well, you tend to be healthy. But you'll find certain ones that are stubborn. That is the N of you. When we find the ones that are stubborn or way out of balance, one of the things we can check are the methylation pathways. Now, I prefer to check the pathway before I check the gene. I mean, if you have genomics, for all means, let's run them through this. But I think more importantly is how you're functioning. Because you can have SNPs and be functioning fine because your lifestyle allows that. Let's see what systems are not working from methylation through transfer, through homocysteine, all the way down to glutathione, taurine bile-based functions, and sulfur groups and aldehyde-based groups. So, how's your body working? Those are the two biggies in my brain. If we're looking at women's health, well, let's do a complete hormone profile. It's very easy these days through several companies where we could see the hormone spread because cortisol is important. This is what cholesterol makes, which is why statins are the most criminal drug that's ever been stuck into people. But I digress. That's my opinion. But all these hormones, we're looking at estrogen, testosterone, DHEA, aldosterone, blood pressure, cortisol. What's the balance in all of these things that's going on? And how can we help you balance it? Now, if we see certain things that are way out of whack and we can tell this enzyme's not working, we can assume a SNP. We can also confirm a SNP or see what else in that area where you're different. We can also go in deeper and look at the gut, but a lot of these are based on what we see on a full system scan, like organic acids or NutriEvals. Are there some really good general spectrums? I like organic acids myself. combined with amino acids and fatty acids, because this way we can see what you're eating and how your body's functioning. Because the amino acids and the fatty acids are based on what you eat. The amount of sugar in your system is based on what you eat. What you do with those will show in a systems analysis. So, basic blood chems that you have, broader spectrum studies, what systems are involved, and what's your strategies to go into each of those systems to find what's weak for you or them. And from there, we can say, okay, now what lifestyle changes would we make? Oh, people hate that. What nutritional strategies can we employ? And what food can we change? How can we change the diet, the behavior? Really hard. And what nutritionals can we add? Because if you can't make it, you take it.
Take it.
And nutrition works perfectly for that, whether it be from a food, but you're assuming the soil has minerals, you're assuming the food has aminos, you're assuming you can digest that. You're assuming you're getting quality without the pesticides, the antibiotics, and all the other stuff like that. Or you can use quality nutritional supplements. I think a combination of both is involved.
Well, it sounds like what I have been committed to my whole career, and that is saving lives. I think your program is, when you come down to the short of all of it, it's how do you want to save lives? But like you said, save your life first and the lives of your family and friends, and then you can help your patients immensely with your knowledge and experience.
And as we've seen over the last 4 years, especially, you see the areas that have really needed it. I mean, number one of the things that I have focused on for a long time is neurochemistry, the way your brain works. And if we want to optimize the frontal cortex, which most people seem to have disconnected, it's going to take changes in your neurochemistry, which is changes in your biochemistry, neural function, and chemistry. The other thing is the immune system. I mean, I'm just amazed at the entire echo chamber of sleep medicine is talking about, CPAP and appliances. Well, appliance is great, but most of what you're trying to do is overcome a weakened immune system, autoimmune and immune deficiency, high or low, with appliances. And there's so much more to it than that. And understanding the immune system is critical. Immune system and brain function, Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's. I mean, come on. We all know somebody that has these. You can't say it's because you have appliance deficiency. Let's look at the immune system. Let's look at neurochemistry. One of Kay's big interests is in female health, as I said, and cancer, along with other general health protocols, but when it comes to understanding those two and cardiology. Now, look at that. Brain health, immune system, cardiology, cancer, women's health. I mean, that's what we're trying to get people focused on besides just general health. Let's look at those topics. And it's not done. And if we could focus on those five, six things, we're going to have a lot healthier population, and that's what we're going for.
Well, let's step back for a second. One of my beliefs is that what is allowed to happen during childhood most often remains with that person for the rest of their life. And so what can you help us to start doing to look at things that children, babies are born with that impact, hugely impact their structural health and terrain, specifically children and babies that are born with anomalies in the cranial facial respiratory complex, high palates, receding jaw or chin and are struggling to develop in a normal and healthy way without developing some of a lot of the problems that occur in children today, like ADHD and night terrors and problems in school. Can those items be addressed at a much younger age so that we could have healthier children?
I mean, healthcare begins 9 months before you're born, right? Really, it begins 12 months before you're born because what's going on in utero and even preconception matters. Beyond that, when it comes to structural things, you see them when they're born. I mean, they're not born with, say, a high palate and retruded mandible, but they are born with cranial issues and cervical issues. And basic minor spinal pelvic issues. And I'm a chiropractor. I think you should be adjusted the day you're born to the day you die. And not just for, ooh, my back hurts. It's called neurological function. If you talk about heart rate variability, what we see adjusting is the power of variability increase, just the power of the life. And when you have a child that's born, and the skull's not working right, and the upper cervical spine's not working right. It doesn't take force, it just takes alignment. And I've been adjusting baby skulls for 35 years more because it makes such a difference. But if the skull's dented and not functioning properly, you're going to see that in the growth. Now, sometimes as they start to feed, you'll see they don't latch, they don't feed, they don't have the tongue. That has a lot to do with the skull and the neck. And that lack of tongue function is what allows the palate to become arched. Now we have genetic variants, especially in folate metabolism, not folic acid, doesn't work, but in folate, along with development that causes midline distortions like lip ties and tongue ties and cleft palates. They're all in the same line. Along with spina bifida and things in the midline of the body. Does that matter? Heck yes. And that's why you want to identify those things when they're very young. You want a symmetrical skull. You want the palate. You want the tongue to be able to help develop the palate. You want proper feeding and you want proper food. And those are the things that we can do in children and infants and watch them grow. I mean, you want them to grow healthy, but if they start out crooked, it's only going to be amplified. And we want symmetry, we want tongue, we want swallow, we want face, we want respiration, and neurological function. We want the brain to be able to work right. And people take it for granted that the brain is just going to work right if you don't give it what it needs, the air, the nutrition, and the function of the cranial system to drain and fill properly. So that's key for infants. And everybody should do that or work with people that do. Now, there's a lot on myofunctional training right now, which again, good, but it's just a part of it. How many of those people are talking about the skull and the way it moves in your symmetry? You can develop something, but it's the whole skull you need to change, not just one little point in the mouth. Or one little snip on the tongue. There's more to it than that. Why not appreciate that and put it into practice?
Perfect. You are such a gift. And I so appreciate all that you have contributed to people's lives and how many lives you have saved over the years that you've been working with people. It's kind of mind-boggling to me. But I want you to let people know how they can find out more about this course, Functional Oral Systemic Health Care, that's coming up in the first part of March, and how they can learn more about it and how they can register for that course.
Okay, you can post the link anytime you need to, but we're available at exceptionaldentalcourses, plural, .com. And right on the beginning, you'll find our March course being functional health, lab tests, and nutritional strategies, part one. We're going to start, as we said, with that overview, how to look at health, how to look at the basics, where to go, what lab tests to look at, what they mean, and how to put that into active use with nutritional strategies, food strategies, lifestyle changes, what you can do about that. You have to have a starting point. Now, if you have weaknesses in certain of these areas, that's where in the next year we're going to be having breakouts, full things online or live on the immune system, on detoxification, on methylation and genomics, on gut health, on these things, so that we can broaden the knowledge for that. We already have some online, especially nutritional and physiologic approaches to sleep, which we met, Chris, many, many, many years ago. And we haven't changed the philosophy. We've just expanded the knowledge with what we know. And there's a lot of information out there that's we're learning more every day. It's just not being put into the echo chamber yet. And let's see if the rest of my life, my mission is to try to get more people understanding that. I'm glad to see people putting basics out there, but you know me, I have this internal cringe when the goal is there, the spirit is there, but the details are wrong. And but as we learn more details, let's apply them. I got to applaud everybody who's out there trying to get healthy and listening to stuff, but let's just break it down and make it simple. And let's get the details right because details matter. And realize that everyone's different. You're an N of one. What do you need to do? What's your family need to do? What do your friends need to do? And what do your clients need to do? And how do you put this into daily practice? That's what we're talking about in March. And then we can go from there and you can join the exceptional dental health family. And we've got people that have been doing it for 30 years. And so it's always a good bunch. And Chris, you're a member of our exceptional family. And Kay and I welcome everybody to come with us and let's all play for the rest of our lives.
Dr. Bob, would you talk for a minute about the benefit of investing in your hygienist and bringing her with you to this course and any of your future courses, or sending her by herself, into the value of what that does for painting that larger canvas of who your hygienist can be for your patients? It was absolutely critical for me. And as you know, I show up at a lot of your courses where I can't do anything of what you're teaching, but what I can do is I glean and I take back and I use that information that I've learned to help me engage and enroll our patients in life-saving services that they normally wouldn't have become aware of. And so that was absolutely critical in my development of who I was going to be for our patients. And that is, I am a lifeguard. I guard and guide the health and wellness of our patients. And, I hope there are some dentists that will really care about their patients and invest in their hygienist in that manner.
I mean, when it comes to business, getting your team aligned with your vision is pretty important. And we see people that come to courses and especially nutritionally based for themselves, which is fine. But if you want to employ it into the practice, you need to have your team aligned. And if you're in a hospital and you want to know what's going on with you, don't ask the doctor, ask the nurse, right? Because doctor spends minutes. Nurses spend hours. They are with patients day in, day out. They get it more. In a dental office, it's the same thing. Dentists can come in and see the basics of it and do what they do, but who spends more time with them? The hygienist. and the rest of the staff. But if I had to pick anybody to educate along with the doctor, it would be the dental hygienist because they see it. They can do simple things like saliva tests. A lot of the tests that we do can be done on finger stick or on spit. So you can do it on a stick, either stick or stick, and get a lot of health information what's going on. I mean, come on, you can get CRP right off of a simple blood stick in your test now. You can get glucose, A1C, same thing. So why not? And the more they understand, or you, Chris, as you know, we told Brian this a long time ago, you need to have your staff educated if you want to make a change in your office, you know, because you don't, you can come back with all the greatest intentions of all, but if they're not aligned with you, then you're going to be a problem. We see the same though with hygienists who really want to make a change and the doctor doesn't. So it's like, come on, get everybody on board, have a mission, make small changes, but the more you understand, the more you can share. And if you're a dental hygienist who wants to just understand more for yourself, great. For your family, excellent. And for the people that you're talking to every day, the clearer your understanding, the more people you can help. I mean, if what you want to do is help people get healthy, then information is king, right? That's the currency, is knowledge.
Right. And we are talking inflammation. And
Inflammation, well, immune system. I mean, come on. What do
yeah.
you think? Spirochetes poop aldehydes. Where do those aldehydes go? In your brain. They go right up to your brain. They're giving you the brain fog. It's the same brain fog you get when you have a hangover, because that's an aldehyde. When you're in a moldy environment, that's an aldehyde. Well, spirochetes in the mouth are producing those aldehydes. Those aldehydes are going to mess with brain function. They're also going to mess with sleep. You're going to see the body trying to break down those aldehydes. How many people wake up at 3 or 4 and at night and can't go back to sleep or have to get up and urinate? This is brain toxicity that's going on. When we see central sleep apnea, that is classic aldehydes. Where is it coming from? Well, oral health, number one. And that's why if you're treating perio, you do a salivary perio test or oral DNA test, you've got microbes in the mouth. You can treat that with nutrition. Their sleep gets better. Oops. But you, perio is your wheelhouse. I mean, you can
Yes.
tell everybody else to stay in your lane. You're treating oral perio, and you can get the whole body healthy on that. So the more you know, but you'll see a whole lot of things going on with oral health hygienists and these, and you need to be aware of it. You need to know how you can help it. And immune system, as you said, inflammation, but inflammation's good in some cases. It's all
Yes.
about the immune system. And help the immune system. Help it. Don't get in its way. Don't inhibit
Yes,
it. We've
it's
seen a lot of
self or
that too.
non-self identification, right, Bob?
Exactly. Your body asks, your body knows you are not you unless it's being inhibited. And we've done a lot to inhibit the body's ability to tell between self and not self.
Non-self.
Well, that's perio. That's cancer. And we're not treating cancer. We're modulating, we're getting a healthy immune system established. And that's what the body wants to do with all this stuff.
Thank you so much. And for any of you that would like to partake of this exceptional dental course's knowledge and wisdom and movement in the direction of true health, I encourage you to go to their website, register, and they have provided a courtesy. If you've listened to this, if you'd like to have a $500 discount. When you register, you are more than welcome to view that as their gift to me, to you. So when you register, and this is only good until December 15th, but register with the discount code of Chris 500. That's CRIS, Chris without an H, 500. And
And that's lowercase.
that's right. Okay, great. Thank you for letting me know. And for those of you that make a decision for your health and wellness of your family and friends and yourself. I will see you there. And if you're sending your hygienist alone, know that I will be right there as a mentor and help to augment how you can incorporate some of this into how you communicate or your message to your patients. And hopefully, we'll save some lives along the way. Thank you so much, Dr. Bob.
Thank you for having me, and congratulations on your podcast.
Thank you. That's it for today's episode of Health Lifelines, brought to you by the Lifeguard Approach. I hope you found inspiration and actionable insights to support you and your patients' journeys towards better health and more fulfilling lives. Remember, every small step you take today builds the foundation for a healthier tomorrow. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to rate, review, and share the podcast with someone who could benefit from it. Your support helps us reach more listeners and grow this community of health-conscious individuals and dental professionals focused on becoming lifeguards for their patients. For more tips, tools, and resources from the Lifeguard Approach, visit us online at thelifeguardapproach.com. Also, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn at The Lifeguard Approach. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time, stay informed, stay inspired, and keep showing up as a lifeguard for your patients at every single appointment.